You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Broadway, Broadway, in all of its glory, we all have a memory. We all have a story. Was there an understudy? Or did the show stop? Did you see Barbara before she shot to the top? Join us as we revel in a reverie. It's my Broadway memory.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yay. Hello.
Well, we got a TV show, I guess.
We got it. Here we are live.
So exciting. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing well. And hi to everyone. Welcome to my Broadway memory.
Yeah, we're so excited to have everybody. And I hope everybody has a lot of fun with us.
Yeah, me too. This is all very surreal because how did this start? I just wanted to like make people happy and post videos on Instagram and Facebook and was just like, let's go through my Playbill collection and I'm going to tell stories about it. And then you, Brian.
Yeah, I saw that video. And as a fellow Playbill lover, theater lover, Broadway lover, I saw that video and was just geeking out over the idea of, you know, the randomness and spontaneity of taking out, you know, a binder or a collection of playbills, flipping through it, landing on a random playbill and speaking about that memory and everything about going to see that show, what the show was like, who you were with. Each playbill is like a time capsule, right?
Yeah.
There's so much history inside of it.
Yeah. And I love the idea of it being a game, like you do never know what you're going to get. And it was so funny. It's like the ones that I landed on, like the Legally Blonde one, it was like, I've worked with so many of the people that have signed my playbill, like they were my, like have become my clients or I'm collaborating with them on web series or like whatever. So it's just like, so funny.
So full circle.
It's so full circle. It's not, yeah, it's beshert. It's a Yiddish word for meant to be. And that's exactly what the Broadway community represents. It's beshert. It's meant to be. I have so many amazing, amazing stories, as I know you do. And I know our guests do as well. So, you know, it's just a very, it was just very exciting. And in this crazy time of quarantine and COVID, it's like, anything we can do to put a smile on people's face and
nostalgia, I think, is one of the best ways to think about happier times.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And I know that, you know, I will be in a theater right when Broadway opens. I will be right at, I will buy a ticket to a show right when the theater opens. I'm not afraid. New York is my home. The theater is my home. I will be right there, ready to
watch make more Broadway memories.
100%. And right. That's another thing, is that we will be able to go, I was there when Broadway came back.
Yeah.
You know,
I said, wouldn't it be so cool to go to a show the first night that Broadway comes back?
Yeah, it would be really, 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 really exciting. And I kind of I really want to go see Come From Away, because, you know, it's
a lot of, it's part of their, that story almost.
It's a show about survival and celebration.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very exciting. I think Mary Dina said yes, me too, in regards to being at a Broadway, in a Broadway house, right? Yeah.
Which my co-host from Page to Stage. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Mary. So anyway, let's jump into it.
Yes.
So Brian, do you want to be the first person to introduce our first segment?
Okay. So our first segment is, we're going to bring on guest Laura Haywood, otherwise known as Broadway Girl NYC, for the first segment called Good News. Hello, hi, Laura.
I love the theme song.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah. And I'm honored to be your premier Good News guest.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We can't wait to hear all about your good news.
Yeah. Can you explain to us a little bit? Yeah. Can you explain to us about how you celebrated your birthday this year?
Yes. So my birthday was Tuesday, April 28th, which was also supposed to be the day of the Tony nominations. It was also supposed to be the New York primary. So it was like all teed up to be the most on-brand Laura Haywood birthday ever. But for the purposes of our collective community, the Tony nominations was like the big expectation for that date. And, you know, everything has obviously changed a lot over the last few months. And my sort of sadness about not getting to get together with my friends for my birthday was really compounded by the fact that this big void was going to be existing in the Broadway community. And I could not stop thinking about all of the artists, designers, directors, actors, et cetera, who should have been getting this really incredible honor of a Tony nomination bestowed upon them this week. So because good news and positivity and joy and enthusiasm is kind of my go-to identity to spread those things, I had the idea that maybe I could couch my birthday wish as a challenge to the people of the internet to share stories about how theater had changed their lives, and that maybe April 28th could end up being a celebration of theater after all, even if it wasn't done in such a formal, streamlined way. I think that awards are often seen as the only way to celebrate our artists, but they don't necessarily do the best job of being inclusive. And I wanted to just spread love to the entire industry and everybody who makes it.
Wow, that's great. Did you, what was the response like?
You know, I of course had dreams that maybe it would go viral and it would trend and that it would end up on Ellen or something. But that I very, very quickly, even as I daydreamed about that, had to put it to the side and realize that even if my video was the only one that ever got made, it still meant more love out in the world than there was before. And I'd say I got between 20 and 30 videos, and they were all really—
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was, and they were beautiful. There was, within 5 minutes of me posting this challenge, somebody said that I think her name is Jordan, and she said she put down everything she was doing and made her video immediately because she felt like not only had her life been changed in a personal way by seeing Wicked, so call back to the song, but that it changed her whole career trajectory. And now she was working in a professional theater. And she name checked Megan Hilty and Eden Espinoza. And I then tagged them in my tweet response to her. So hopefully they were able to see it. And I got messages from parents who, you know, who felt like they'd finally gotten to understand their kids because I heard from several members of the Broadway Podcast Network family about how they had come to find Broadway. And it actually is sort of similar to my Broadway memory because a lot of the stories were about people's very first experience feeling like they belong somewhere.
And that's why we reached out to you, is because it was like that was happening right when we were planning this. And Brian and I were like, how this would be amazing, because I talk about community all the time and how much that being a part of Broadway doesn't necessarily mean you're on Broadway. And I tell this to students that I teach workshops to all the time. It's about community. Broadway is about community. And
the show doesn't happen without the audience.
Right.
And theater without an audience is a rehearsal. I say it
exactly.
And the industry does best when the people who make the show treat audience members as collaborators instead of as customers.
Especially like you hear comedic actors all the time talk about how they have to work with the audience. You know, it's that sort of relationship is so present in the theater. You can't do it without them.
Exactly.
So we were going to talk about this at the end, but I think we can incorporate it with your challenge too. We were going to talk about the My Broadway Memory Challenge, where people can go ahead and post videos of their Broadway memory by doing what we're going to be doing in the later portion of this episode. But I think they could tag both of us and use both of our hashtags in posts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even though April 28th has passed, that doesn't matter. We can still use both hashtags and combine forces and hopefully go viral, right?
Yeah. I ask is that if you get invited on Ellen, that I get to come.
Hey,
100%. I love that.
So Michael, do you want to talk about encouraging people to do what we're going to be doing in the future?
We're gonna be doing a challenge called hashtag My Broadway Memory, and basically what we want everyone to do is to do what we're going to do tonight. Let's pick a playbill at random from your collection. Have fun with it, like be creative, and more creative than I was, because I was just like, here's my book, blah, blah, blah. I think I even landed on a playbill and I was like, no, not that one. So be more creative than
cheating.
I was.
No cheating.
Yeah, no cheating. And I think just because it landed next to one that had a really great story, and I, you know, maybe in episode 15, I won't be that, you know.
We'll make excuses.
But I'm full of them. So, you know, we want you to do the same thing that we're doing tonight. Take a playbill, talk about your memory associated that. And that means like how you got your tickets. Were you surprised? Did you travel into New York for it? Did you go with family or friends? Did you go by yourself? Did you meet anyone from the show? How did it inspire you? And when you post that video, make sure you post it with the hashtag #MyBroadwayMemory and tag us.
It's very funny that you say pick a playbill at random, because if you look over my shoulder, you can see there's like four giant bins, each of which have
amazing
playbills in them. And that's just the beginning of what I have around my house. So if I had to pick one at random, I don't even know where I would start.
Actually, you mentioned to me a little earlier that you had some other good news that you'd like to share. So before we wrap up the segment.
So the playbills that you see behind me are actually not the ones. I have a separate... it's like a storage unit for the playbills from the shows that I've seen. But I have collected playbills because, as one of you mentioned at the beginning, they feel like they hold this energy. They feel really magical to me because they were in the room when that live performance happened. And I cannot stand to let anyone throw them away ever. So if I hear that somebody has too many, they're taking up space and they're ready to like pulp them, I'm like, nope, I'll take them. And we'll just spend, I sort of feel like they're very organized now, but for a long time it was like a Scrooge McDuck with his money situation where I could fill a bathtub and go swimming in the playbills. And I've spent a lot of time just poring over them, reading, like finding the understudy slips and being like, oh my gosh, like I had a Wicked playbill that had a Tay Diggs understudy slip from the first time he went on as Fiero. And I was like,
wow. That's cool.
But I decided, because I make about half of my money for the year in the six weeks between the Tony nominations and the awards through work tied to the awards, I was feeling really anxious about how I was going to make ends meet. Not just for the 6 weeks, but for the rest of the year when I count on the income I saved up during May and June. So I did a lot of soul searching and I decided that it was time for me to let some of these playbills go. Not the ones from shows that I've seen, but some of the ones that were collectible. And and so I've been putting them up for a modest price on eBay and then letting the market determine what they're worth. But the good news that I wanted to share with you is that I continue to hear from people who are in really dire financial straits themselves. They wish they could help the Actors Fund. They wish they could fund meals for hospital workers, but their own financial situations don't allow them to do so, but they do want to help. And they have started sending me their playbill collections so I don't have to get rid of my own. So the vast majority of the playbills that are now in my eBay store, which is called Broadway Girl NYC, are ones that have been donated by people who follow me on social media. And I every time a box arrives. So yeah, it's just the amount of kindness and generosity I have seen in this pandemic. It's almost enough.
Selfless.
It's almost enough to make me feel like, you know, the world may not end after all, because there's so much love in the world.
Isn't that amazing? Social media can be really awful sometimes, but in these situations, it's really helpful.
Yeah, it really is. Especially when people, you know, really flex those joy muscles. And I believe it's something that can be practiced. I also want to say that a portion of every sale I've ever made on the internet always goes to charity. So
that's amazing.
I'm trying to make sure that I can spread the wealth around, although wealth is probably the wrong word to choose.
Artistic wealth and wealth of the heart, I guess. And,
if somebody gives me $10 for, an Anastasia playbill, I make sure that I give a few of those dollars over to the Actors Fund or to Story Pirates, the nonprofit theater company I'm on the board of. There's a lot of good causes, and I want to make sure that I'm not just pocketing all of that money.
Right. Yeah, that's amazing.
Thank you so much for joining us and kicking us off.
Oh my gosh, thanks. Yeah. Again, like what I was saying before, it's beshert. It's, it's meant to be that you had your birthday and we're celebrating it in that way. And we were like, let's do a good news segment and let's have Laura kick it off. So thank you so much for being a part of our first episode. That's really awesome.
I'm really proud of you both for doing this. And
thank you.
If there's ever anything I can do to help or be part of it again.
Thank you. So yeah, much. You will be a part of it again. Are you kidding
me?
Yeah. Thanks, Laura.
All right. So Laura's going to exit. And Michael, if you could introduce our guests.
Oh, my God. Okay. So let me take a second. I'm so excited that these two guests agreed to do this because I'm their biggest fans. And I'm also thrilled that I consider them, cohorts. So let's just say our first two guests are Joan Marcus and Brittany Johnson. And I've had Joan's photos on my wall, and I'm sure a lot of the people listening and watching to this have as well. Joan's photo, she is a legendary Tony-winning photographer of the Broadway stage, national tours, and regional houses. Chances are, if you think of an iconic photo from a show, Joan Marcus took that photo. And I first reached out to her at Broadway for a Broadway Con panel to speak at Broadway Con, and she agreed, and we had a great time. And Brittany Johnson is a friend of my boyfriend Remy's, and we met through him. And I've been following her career ever since we met. And then she booked the understudy to Glinda. And if she were to go on, she would be making history as the first Black Glinda in history. And we coordinated that, and I got to photograph her going on for the first time. And I had to sleep with my phone on silent for 3 nights because it went so viral. And most importantly, it inspired people of all ages, genders, races,
Which is exactly what that show is about.
Which is exactly what that show is about. And it was such an exhilarating moment. And I'm so glad that Brittany was able to welcome me into that. Two icons. I'm so excited to welcome Joan Marcus and Brittany Johnson. Hi, guys.
Hi, everybody.
You made me hope you're happy with those intros. Oh, good. But it's true. It's true. The two of you are icons. I mean, yeah. Joan, Brian and I have had your photos on our walls since we were little. And Brittany, you've changed the lie. You changed what people can do, what people thought they could do, and now what they can do. It's absolutely brilliant. You two are icons and legends. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you,
Michael. Thank you, Brian.
Hi, of course. So how are your days, guys? How are you doing?
Where are you guys quarantining? Let's start off with that.
Well, I am at my mom's house in Maryland, and I'm sorry you're hearing my cat right now because she just woke up and she likes to talk when she wakes up. So I'm sorry she'll stop soon.
but I love that.
That's where I am. I'm in Maryland, just quarantining with.
Here's my kid. She heard memory.
No, she did.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely Grisabella. What'd you say, John?
Oh, I'm upstate New York. That's
nice.
Right. Oh God, I can't wait to get a house and escape to upstate New York.
It's easier, I think. Probably easier being here.
But I love it.
Horrible. I mean, it's been horrible everywhere, right?
Really? Yeah,
it's bad in Maryland.
It's pretty bad. Thankfully, yeah. I'm in the suburbs, so I'm kind of separated from all of it. I can go out for walks and walk through the neighborhood, and it's not so in my face, you know, as it would be if I was still in the city. So I'm grateful.
Yeah, me too.
As long as you're staying safe, that's all that matters.
Absolutely.
I am going to kick off our Playbill segment by leading with example and taking out my binder and... I'm going to close my eyes and pick a random playbill. And
I close my eyes.
Okay.
I'm Saint Joseph.
And I do know which binder this is. This is from like the first like 20 shows that I ever saw.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So it's one of these. Okay.
So what is it?
Got the Addams Family.
Wow.
And... okay, so I do remember this. I was in eighth grade, and I remember that this was my parents' graduation gift to me for graduating eighth grade.
That's
and,
amazing.
I do remember going, because I grew up right outside of New York City, so in New Jersey, and I remember going in to the city specifically just to get tickets for it. And I have the tickets still. I guess my parents gave me one of theirs. And I remember... getting seats. Let's see. This was on May 27th, 2010. And we sat in the box because I remember my parents were always like, do the obstructed view seats. So we get a little bit of a discount, but it's still pretty good.
Right.
And actually I remember getting to the show and we were sitting in the box with some cast members from the national tour at the time of Hairspray. And we were talking to them and they were like, oh, how did you guys get your tickets? We only paid $40. And we were like, what? We paid $126 a piece. And so this was where I discovered the Rush line.
Oh.
So let's open it up and see. We've got, this was the original cast. This was right after it opened. It was at the Lunt-Fontanne.
Joan, you took the photos for this, right?
I took the photos for that.
Oh my gosh. That kismet. We had Nathan Lane and BB Newworth. Let's go to the headshots.
Carly, Carmelo.
Yes.
Look at that ad.
Some coordination, I have to say.
Yeah. So as for headshot trends, it was only what, 2008? So
2010.
So
yeah.
Not much things have definitely changed, but we're not like giving you like that, you know, that pancake makeup and the brushed out, you know, the blown out hair and everything.
So we're against a lot of the ensemble.
Any
recognizable names? I don't know if you can
see. Yeah, of course. I can't really read much of it, but
right.
Joan, what was photographing the show like for you?
Well, it was great. I started doing it in Chicago where it
came
out, and it was really hard. Photographs. It was really dark. Okay. And what year was that? I mean, I'm trying to.
2000. So I guess maybe the Out of Town was in 2009.
2009. And cameras, like the digital cameras, weren't as good then, you know, in the lower ranges, you know, like the. So it was a really tough show to shoot. And then it got even like harder. Like usually lighting evolves, but it got kind of more contrasty as it came to New York. So it was like, that was a tough show for me to shoot.
The photos are beautiful. I mean, what an iconic set.
And yeah.
It was like you said, it was Julian Crouch who, you know, who was just like this like great set designer who I love. And he had designed Shock-Headed Peter, which I don't know if anybody saw it.
I didn't see it, but I'm obsessed with that show.
It was like incredible. It's like he's kind of like the Addams Family. So that was like kind of thrilling that he was like the set designer.
So for anyone that doesn't know Shock-Headed Peter, that show is like, it's like theater of the cruelty.
Yeah.
I want to say it's like nightmares come to life in like a kid's storytelling way. So there's puppetry and everything is really gross and disgusting. There's one song called Snip Snip, and it's about his a child that sucks his thumbs, and the mother keeps telling him, if you don't stop sucking your thumbs, someone is going to come and cut them off. And it's done with this puppet it's so good.
Sounds wild.
It's like amazing. Yeah.
I'm just looking through at the ends. What else was playing at the time? Little Night Music, American Idiot, Hair, Mamma Mia, Fences, Fella, Promises, Promises. Yeah, lots of stuff. Like a nice time capsule.
Yeah, what a time.
And the old Playbill designs, of course.
Oh yeah, yeah. Old love. Oh yes. Brittany, did you ever do Addams Family?
No, I didn't.
That's Addams Family, I think, from MTI is the most produced musical.
Right?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. True?
Or lately, or at least last year it was, or the year before.
Yeah.
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 I think because there's a lot of leads.
Yeah. And male and female.
Yes. And there's an ensemble, and it's and I'm sure kids love doing it because, you know, the costumes and the sets, it's all, you know,
it's kooky.
And it's kooky. And it's kooky. Wow. So Joan, is there an all-time favorite photo shoot from your career that you have?
Not really. I mean, because like so many of them are good for so many different reasons, you know, like sometimes like, my favorite memories are from shows that maybe aren't very good, but you know, they were like nice to me, or it was visually beautiful, you know, it was lighting, or I had a very good, you know, cause it's like a community thing. I mean, it's it's a community thing, and you kind of go in the theater and you are working with people, or at least some people that you've worked with for years and years and years and years. And that's kind of great. I mean, there's just this like, so like my favorite shoots are ones where that all kind of comes together, you know, where, you know, it's like, I struggle sometimes with like shows that maybe are better shows because like the Addams Family was a struggle because it was very difficult to photograph that, you know, like there was a lot of movement, but the technical aspects of it were really kind of challenging, you know, so it's like kind of great in a way because it challenges you, but on the other hand, it can be frustrating and scary and difficult too. So I guess, you know, like my favorite shoots, like I just did this thing for Playbill, and then I, you know, where they had, it was like I guess the pandemic has made me very nostalgic and kind of. It's like memory, you know.
That's what we're trying to create.
Well, create memories, you know, and you kind of like, and so when they like didn't have like opening nights, I started kind of going in my files and like thinking, well, on this night, these shows opened, you know, with ones that I had. And so So then, you know, I just started getting like, wow, I remember that. And I've been doing it a long time, you know. So it was like, I remember that, you know, oh, wow. So it's like, for the most part, there's so many good memories. I mean, for real, like in a way for me, like the playbills, like I've seen the show, you know, I see so much theater, maybe not as much, but I see it you know, my special thing is like going to the dress rehearsal, you know, and kind of like the sense of discovery there, which is like really amazing, like Wicked, you know, like when that show was like in its infancy out in San Francisco, like sometimes you just know that it's going to click, like Wicked, and sometimes you don't, you know, but Wicked, I was around enough and saw enough rehearsals without like photographing it to know that like that was going to hit and it was going to be a really big hit.
Joan, sorry, go for it.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
No, I was going to say you might disagree with me, but I feel like you would be a really, really, really great performer because the way that you shoot, it feels like you know all, like, it feels like you are part of the action. It feels like you are part of the story. You get these moments of when someone's breathing or when someone is.
That kinesthetic response.
Yeah, 100%. It's amazing. It feels like you are part of, like, you might think that you're just like a part of, you're seeing the dress rehearsal, but I think based on your photos that you're a part of the magic that happens.
Well, you try to create that. Like, you try, like it's hard because, like, you have so many people involved in a production. Like, you have, like, all the designers who, you know, and fortunately, when, you know, I work with all these people who are, like, at the top, who are, like, unbelievable. Like, sometimes, like, I have out-of-body experience because, like, they're so talented. You know, they're, like the designers and the actors, you know. And, like, especially the actors who, like, put themselves out there. Like, you know, me, you know, like, I'm, like, in the dark theater and usually and don't think anybody knows who I am, you know, kind of thing. And then, you know, you kind of come in and then you leave. And sometimes, like, people hate you. What you've done.
Well, that's really interesting. Before we go through your playbills, Joan, I wanted to ask Brittany if how it feels on the other side of the camera, you know, when there is somebody in the audience taking pictures. Are you aware of that? And what is that experience like?
Well, I actually had the great honor of being photographed by you, Joan.
Right. This is just a perfect pairing.
It was.
I love it.
I mean, that whole day was special for me just to get photographed with press shots. In, you know, that iconic bubble, you know. For Sunset Boulevard, we had a photo session. But that was my only photo session for a show because I've always replaced. So yeah. I haven't opened up a show to be a part of that kind of photo.
Isn't that so special that Wicked had a photo shoot for you? And they do that all the time. They with the replacements.
Yeah.
It was. I'm gonna cherish those forever.
And I love those photos.
Yeah.
So Joan.
Do you wanna go ahead and pick a playbill for us?
Okay, so I'm gonna pick a weird playbill. Okay. I have all these playbills here, but then I was like thinking about like, you know, and a lot of these like were ones like I photographed, you know, so I saw them. So then I had this idea, okay, and it's a playbill I don't have, okay, but it's my first Broadway memory because it was my first Broadway show, and that was, and it's in the introduction to your thing. I went on Broadway Vault and I got
Funny Girl.
Wow.
Now I was in single. I was young. Okay.
Single digits.
Barely, but I was there. Okay. And that was my first Broadway show. And like, it was my first trip to New York. It was like my first and it was such a big deal. I mean, it was like, and truthfully, I don't remember. You know, truth be told, you know, I don't remember other than I knew that she was like that it was a big deal, but the, the whole just experience of coming to New York and going to that show and having her turn into who she was, you know, and kind of having been there has kind of lived with me. Like, it's been a big deal for me forever.
Have you photographed her?
Never. Oh, well, I take that back. Okay. I take that back. I did photograph her once. I did. And I don't know why she was there, but when one of my first jobs was, I was at the Kennedy Center. Okay. And I was a photographer there, and she was filming something there, I guess, like, so I photographed her walking down the Hall of Nations over and over and over and over again for something that she was doing for television. And I don't know what it was, truthfully, when I photographed her. So, but going there and seeing that, and also
at the Winter Garden,
and probably we had dinner at Mama Leone's that night because that was our Broadway show.
Wow. Yeah.
And that whole trip to New York really made me love New York and always want to move to New York.
Do you guys still have like Brittany and Joan and Brian, do you guys have a restaurant that you go to before or after when you see a show to celebrate?
We did have a family restaurant that we would always go to, and it sadly closed down last June. It was called Giorgio's Country Grill on 53rd and 9th.
Yeah.
And we would go there all the time before going to see shows. Yeah. So it's sad that it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
We didn't have one because I didn't grow up in a family where we went to see Broadway shows often. My first Broadway show I saw in 2007. It's not my turn yet, but I can
tell you what it was. Yeah. Take it.
It was it, 110 in the Shade with Audra McDonald.
Wow.
And it was a big deal. I remember when I first started learning about Broadway and I decided that I wanted to go to school for musical theater, she was my icon. So being able to see her in that show, I mean, it changed my whole world. And I mean, it made it possible. What'd you say?
So that was your first show?
That was my first Broadway show.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
And I'm at my mom's house, so I thought I'd be able to find the playbill and I couldn't find it, but I'm sure it's somewhere around here. But
that's a good segue into your playbill.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay.
Selection.
I found quite a few.
Well, okay. So let's frame this. A couple of days ago, or like yesterday or the day before, Brittany emailed us both and said, guys, I'm at my mom's house. I don't have any of my playbills with me, but I'm going to see if there's anything that I could find.
Right.
And I text Michael. I'm like, oh boy, maybe her mom has like playbills of shows that she's seen her in, but it seems like she hit the jackpot.
I do. I have some that I was in, and I have some that I've seen either with her or without her. And actually, the very first one that I found is the one that I picked.
Okay. And
it is.
Oh.
In Life.
Nice.
Good one.
Nice.
This was with the original cast.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw Lynn as Usnavi and, you know, I mean, all of these amazing people. I'll tell you a secret. I saw this show 10 times.
Wow. On
Broadway.
10 times.
10 times, including.
And that's a short run. Including opening night, you said?
Including closing night.
Oh, closing night.
Mm-hmm.
They had a couple casts, didn't they? They had like a bunch of casts.
Oh, happy to show you.
Jordan? Wait, who's in that one? Okay.
The glare.
That would be.
Is that the original?
So that's Chris Jackson.
Yeah.
Andre Burns. Patricia Lopez.
Mandy. Olga. Priscilla Lopez. Yeah. It was so amazing.
It was all the originals. Oh, here you go. Here's their photos.
Oh, there you
yes.
go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't look at that Lord and Taylor act also.
Yeah. And so many stars before they were stars.
So many.
Yeah.
I mean, this show, between this show and 110 in the Shade, I mean, I had never really seen myself represented on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And this show, especially seeing myself so many times in so many roles, it just, I think that's why I saw it so many times, because every time I would go to it and I would watch somebody different, and I just was like, I can do this. I can, there's a place for me here on Broadway. And I'm going to tear up when I'm talking about this. But I mean, it really changed my whole just thought process about what was possible.
And so much of that show is about dreams.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
I mean, I cried every time I saw it too. So this is typical. But yeah, so I have quite a few others, but this one, I think this is one of my most prized playbills.
If you go to the back of the, what else was playing at the time?
Let's see. Wicked.
That's amazing.
Young Frankenstein, Xanadu, which I also saw that year. This actually, I did a pre-Broadway program at NYU, and we saw, I mean, probably like 15 Broadway shows or 20 Broadway shows during that time. And it was obviously the most Broadway shows I'd ever seen. So a lot of these we actually saw. So Passing Strange, Hairspray, Legally Blonde, 39 Steps.
It was a good time for Broadway.
It was really nice.
Spring Awakening.
Yeah.
Little Mermaid. I mean, Rent.
Did you happen to see, In the Heights won the Tony, right? For Best Musical. Mm-hmm. Did you happen to see it in the month or like right after the Tonys that year?
I don't know. I don't have my ticket in here, so I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. What month does it say in the beginning?
It doesn't.
Or, you know, like in the second or third page, it'll say it.
Does it say that?
Yeah, if you go, because it's like an issue of a magazine, right?
March 2008. I didn't know.
There you go. Either. So I think it opened. Around, it's either open in February or March 2008.
Joan, does it say that in the Funny Girl playbill? Does it have a date or no?
Yeah, it opened, this one opened on March
26, 1964. 64. I was going to say 67, but okay, 64.
64. And I saw it in the winter, like Christmas vacation that year.
That's amazing.
And I also saw The Supremes on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh my gosh. Like, I love The Supremes.
It was really aging me, but it had, it was like one of the biggest deals for me. I mean, it was like a bigger world. You know, I grew up in Pittsburgh. It was like, it meant so much and kind of influenced so much kind of what I ended up doing and where I went. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it seems like the four of us grew up in areas that Broadway, getting to New York was easier compared to others. Like we have Maryland, we have Pittsburgh. Brian, you're Jersey, right?
Yeah, like right outside of the city.
And I was Fort Lauderdale, so all you have to do is hop on JetBlue, JetJew as we called it. You know what I mean? JetJew, and just, you know, it's 2 and 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So Michael, do you have a playbill you want to share?
Yeah, so I have like 8 of these binders.
Same.
Big babies. So, all right, this is like from the first, like, I think that there's some new ones sprinkled in here, but this is like from like the first, maybe 25, 30. Maybe. There's probably more in this. They're like stuff. Okay, so let's see here.
Showing the camera. Oh, nice. I'm
going to pick it random. All right, I'm going to do this one.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Okay. Let's do Bonnie. I can't believe Bonnie and Clyde is my first one. Okay. So let's see. I'm going to put this on the floor over here. Bonnie and Clyde. So this is at the Schoenfeld. And I was very excited to see Bonnie and Clyde because it was the first Wild Horn show that I ever saw on Broadway. And also live, I think, because I love Wild Horn. Scarlet Pimpernel and Jekyll and Hyde are two of my favorite shows. So this is very exciting. So I was at the Schoenfeld where they filmed the Jekyll and Hyde DVD.
Oh, was that a childhood DVD for you?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I am off book for that DVD.
David Hasselhoff.
Colleen Sexton as Lucy, David Hasselhoff. Like, yeah, 100%. So I don't know what, I do not know what this is, but it looks like I went to the library.
Maybe that's your parking confirmation. I don't know.
No, it looks like I went to the library or some European boy gave me his number. I don't know. All right. So where's the date? Jeff Calhoun directed this, who I'm working with on the Covenant House gala, which is in May. So that's amazing. I love seeing names that I'm just like, you know, this was still at a time when Broadway was, it's not that it was untouchable, but it was just, you know, it was still far away. So I'm looking for the date.
It's usually the second or third page on like, where it says the table of contents.
Oh, November 2011.
Yeah, and I think it was one of those short-lived shows where it was either you saw it in November or December, and I think it closed in December.
Yeah. So here's Elaine Page, photos of Elaine Page and the roles that she's done.
Wow.
Because Follies, the revival of Follies is at this
time. Yeah.
So yeah.
There's Grizz and Ava, Sunset Boulevard, love it. It's pretty, I didn't know she did Piaf. Okay, so, all right. So we have, yeah, it's, okay, so it's Laura Osnes and Jeremy and Melissa.
I think he still uses that same headshot, right?
I think he actually does. And
Joan, he's very familiar.
Joan, he's going to need to come to see one of us, so. Claiborne Elder, Joe Hart, Lewis Hobson. It's just amazing. It's just absolutely amazing because I didn't see any understudies. And what else was on Broadway at this time was, I love that the pages are a little yellow. It makes me kind of happy. Kim Cattrall was doing Private Lives at this time. Okay, so on Broadway at this time was, this is 2011, so it was An Evening with Patti LuPone and Mandy Patinkin, Anything Goes, Billy Elliot, Bonnie and Clyde, Chicago, Chinglish, Follies, Godspell, How to Succeed, Hugh Jackman back on Broadway, Jersey Boys, Lysistrata Jones, which I love.
I saw that.
Bummer.
In a very short run, too.
Mamma Mia, Mary Poppins, Memphis, On a Clear Day, Other Desert Cities, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, Private Lives, Relatively Speaking, Rock of Ages, Seminar, Sister Act, Spider-Man, Stickfly, Adam's Family, Book of Mormon, Lion King, Mountaintop, Phantom. And I love seeing what was playing off Broadway at this time. Venus and Fur, I was obsessed with, Warhorse, Wicked. And off Broadway, Avenue Q was off Broadway at this time. Blue Man Group, Freckle Face Strawberry, Freud's Last Session, Love, Loss, and What I Wore, Million Dollar Quartet, Rent, and Stomp.
Wow.
Pretty great.
Give us the full rundown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, that was cool. That was cool.
And you know, it's so interesting going back through these playbills and seeing, kind of like you said, people that you now have worked with. Or for me, it was seeing theaters that now I've worked in.
Hmm. I was going to ask you that.
The theaters, I remember what these theaters looked like from the house in each show that I've seen. And then working on them is so different. So like The Little Mermaid.
Oh.
So this was Sierra Bodris's
debut.
Yeah. I didn't know that until I was clicking.
It was her debut?
This was her debut.
Yeah. It was.
And I remember so vividly what that theater looked like and what the stage looked like.
They said that they were like transforming the theater, right?
Yeah. And then I made my Broadway debut in this same theater in Motown.
Wow.
And it looked completely different.
Yeah. That's amazing. I actually really liked The Little Mermaid. It's one of the cast albums that if it was a record or a CD, I would probably have destroyed. I listened to it a lot. And there's this really funny moment.
You were telling me about this. Yeah.
It's a really funny moment. There's Under the Sea, in the dance break, there's some guy that screams, hi, in the ensemble when there it's and you just hear like hi, and I've always loved that. I always rewind it. I'm always like, who is that? Who is that? So Heidi Blickenstaff is a client, and I love her. And then a few months later, I get Brett Shuford in the ensemble and of Little Mermaid. And I tell him this. I go, I didn't bring it up to Heidi, but I brought it up to Brett. And I said, who is that? Because it always makes me laugh and it's very funny. And he literally goes, it's me. And he was like, and you know who I was saying hi to? Who I said hi to every show? Heidi. Yeah. In the ensemble, I guess they like pass each other in that moment. And he goes, hi.
It's just so funny that he put it in the recording.
Yeah. And Brittany, like in the studio. And you're working with Brett right now in Wicked.
I am, yeah. We talk every Friday. I'm talking to him tomorrow. I'm going to bring that up.
He'll laugh. I love that guy so much. But yeah, I'm glad that they put it in the cast album. It's one of my favorite things.
At this point in the live stream event, we played Broadway-themed memory games. While these games are tons of fun, they're best enjoyed by watching the video format of our episode. If you'd like to see the game portion of this episode, visit My Broadway Memory on YouTube or Facebook. Now back to My Broadway Memory.
You guys have been absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're so happy to kick this off with you guys.
And Brittany. Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Yes. And it was so good to see you again, Joan.
Thank you.
You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. And we'll be in touch.
We just wanted to, Michael and I are going to announce who our guests are for next week. So Alan, if you could put that little banner up.
Hey, Alan. Okay. So, oh my gosh, we have Barrett Wilbert Weed and Rachel Scher, two besties that are on Broadway together at the same time. Barrett is currently in Mean Girls and Rachel.
She just left.
Did she just leave? I don't know. I feel like we all just left, honestly.
And Rachel's Chicago.
Barrett of Mean Girls and Rachel of Chicago. We're on Broadway at the same time. Rachel understudied Roxy, and we have many things to talk about in next week, and it's going to be so great.
And we hope to see a lot of our listeners participate in our hashtag challenge, as we're calling it. Hashtag My Broadway Memory, and don't forget to hashtag Laura's hashtag as well, and tag us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you guys are doing things. You could post videos to YouTube, and be sure to follow us on Instagram at My Broadway Memory and Facebook.
You guys have been amazing. Thank you so much. I'm in love with you forever, and I can't wait to see you guys in person when this is all over.
Me too. Until then.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.